primitive walking down Hastings Street. Everybody's talking about Henry Swing Club. I got down there. I decided I was gonna get greased and gassed.
Tune called Ride on Josephine, kind of inspired by a little bit of Bo Diddley stuff, a little Bo Diddley style there.
Thank you.
baby, what? Tell me, hush up and mind my own business. Baby, I'm on my business. It's good business, baby. I drop a 48 candle like a thunderbird rings, and I'm telling you, baby, it's your own damn thing. Standard for a lot of guys back then. Not everybody tuned their guitars the same way. Tuning wasn't as spot on as it usually is today, or I should say, as most everybody makes it today with the advent of the electronic tuner and different things. So it's kind of wherever you tuned your guitar to, as long as it was in tune with itself, you were okay. You found another guy in the corner you wanted to play with, as long as you tuned together, you were okay. But a lot of guys use different tuning, so I use... some people always ask me, what kind of tuning do you use? I use open D, which is D-A-D, F-sharp, A-D. I use open E, which is E-B, E, G-sharp, B-E. And open G a lot. That's D-G-D, G-B-D. And there's some other ones, but those are the primary ones that I mostly use that give you this kind of sound. Playing guitar this way you have to relearn how to do it completely once you get to this point. It's not what you would start out with. It's also a lot of people ask about what this guy is. It's just a slide. This is brushed aluminum. This used to be purple. It's a purple queen bee. Now it's just kind of a worn out queen bee. But okay. This is the classic sound you always heard, you know, when you think about slide guitar. kind of put a couple of tunes together here. This one, this tune I heard Sonny Landreth do. Great, great slide guitar player, if you ever get a chance to hear him. He's probably, actually, most of you have probably heard him. He does most of the movie soundtracks that are recorded with slide guitar. He does, he's one of the most prominent slide studio musicians around, mostly for country, bluegrass, even some rock stuff. Between him and Ry Cooder, they got pretty much the entire thing covered for slide guitar. But this is a Sonny Landreth tune. Sonny is still alive. He's originally from Louisiana. Great, great musician. This is called the Zydeco Shuffle, and I kind of mixed it up with a tune called the Delaware Slide. Thank you. let's see. Real traditional blues tune. I'd like to do one for you. This tune called Dust My Broom. Tune to another key. So this takes a second here. Anybody have any burning questions about playing dobro? Or slide guitar in any way? Surprise, one of my other favorite tunes by a fellow by the late, great Hound Dog Taylor. I love Hound Dog Taylor. Anybody know who Hound Dog Taylor is?
Absolutely.
Got
that extra finger.
Right. Hound Dog Taylor had six fingers on one hand. How about that? Huh? Besides being a great blues man, when you listen to Hound Dog Taylor, he's just so incredibly fun. I'm going to play you some stuff by Hound Dog Taylor and Lightning Hopkins. But Hound Dog Taylor, you know, just for the fun factor, he's just, you know, you can't help it when you listen to him. You know, you start tapping your feet, you want to get up and start dancing around the room. You know, my wife, she listens to a lot of country music and does whatever. But, you know, the minute I start putting on old blues like Hound Dog Taylor or, you know, Lightning Hopkins or Taj Mahal is a relatively contemporary guy but does a lot of the older tunes, she loves it. She goes crazy for it. So she'll sit there, she'll start dancing around the room. It's great. It's great to see that somebody that doesn't necessarily listen to a particular genre of music has a great appreciation for it. So, as well as having to live with me, so that's got to be even tougher. So we'll get to her. We'll get to talk about her later because she's not here. So, not in a bad way. It's always a good thing. Okay, here's a tune called "Give Me Back My Wig."
Give me back my wig.
All right, the question is, how much does Dobro cost these days? And the answer is yes, they still make them. There's a couple of different versions. I have the version I have here is the Duolian, which is a single cone. They make a tri-cone, which is it's what they came out first, which was a national. But these things are quite expensive. I mean, when I bought mine, I got a great deal on mine. I only paid about $1,200. Now, the guy who sold it to me, I'll give Rick a great plug, over at Music Emporium on East 185th. I've been teaching there for 14 years. The guitar probably should have sold for around $2,000 at the time. So he gave me a great, great deal. He knew I really wanted the guitar. Now, if you go to buy them, the California Girls, you know, which is a little bit different design, it goes by the design. If you get the etching or you get the engraving, the cost goes up exponentially. But a California Girl nowadays probably about $4,000 or $5,000. One of these still around maybe $2,500, maybe $3,000, maybe on the high side. You know, if you find a real old one, usually vintage guitars. You know, if they're 30 years old or more, as long as they're American made, hold their value and start to retain. So they can be a great investment too if someone's, you know, whether they're a collector or a player. It's something, as long as you buy an American-made instrument, you're never going to have an issue of having to try to resell it and not being able to get your money out of it. So they're quite a good retirement plan for us musicians. But the problem with that is that you know, you can play till you're 90. So by the time I need my retirement plan, I'll probably be dead. Before I'll cash in my guitars. We're running out of space in the house because of the guitars. That's the problem.
No. Do you have one more question?
Sure.
I have a question, sir. I'm not familiar with the blues of the gospel singer. But I would like to know if you're doing a set, okay? You are evidently doing this in different keys, if I'm understanding.
Correct, yes.
Okay, so what do you do when, because you have to keep tuning it up for different, I guess that's why you're doing that?
Right, yes. We have to keep tuning for different keys. The secret to play it in different keys, in case anybody wants to know why we sing in different keys. As a singer, you know, you want to try to find a comfortable key.
Right.
Also, that if you play, if you go to hear a band, and this is a good thing, you'll sometimes notice this or not. It's a little secret us musicians know, so I'll reveal a great musician secret here. But if you play songs in consecutive keys all the time, people start to get bored and they don't know why. They don't know why they're getting bored. The music can be great, performed flawlessly, but they start to get a little bit bored. So you have to change keys, change their ear around a little bit. And you can go back to the original key you were in or whatever, but you don't want to do, you know, a lot of songs in the same key. So that's why we do it. It's just something about the way humans hear music. So we don't want to get bored with it. And that's just one of the things that we do. Yep. So right now we move into the key of E, in case anybody cares. From D to E. So here's a tune off of my album. They'll have it here at the library soon, I'm sure. I just gave them a copy. I am actually sold out at this point. I literally have maybe 3 or 4 copies left on my shelf at home. And then if you go to cdbaby.com, they actually have a few copies left. I need to produce a new album. Just haven't had the time. But my album is called Red, White, and Blues. It's a Lightning Hopkins tune called Black Cat. And Lightning, again, is one of my most favorite guitar players. He tells great stories, plays great music, wonderful to listen to. So if you decide you want to, you know, go into the music library here and take out some Lightning Hopkins and go home with it, you're going to have fun. It's just a lot of fun. And sometimes you'll catch Lightning talking on the albums, telling stories. The stories are great. All this stuff is great. You might have to listen to him once or twice just to get the gist of what he's doing if you're new to listening to Lightning, but it's great. Okay. pocket bill. When you're in some trouble, you're trying to get me killed. Picking the Blues by Elmore James. so this is where I get to talk about my wife. So a few years back when I started doing this project and just started to come up with the idea, she decided, you know, well, if you're going to go out and promote this album, she said, Jay, you're too fat. You can't go on stage looking like that. Now, you know, I said, okay, I understand. Don't want to look too fat. I said, but, you know, being fat could be good. It's not too bad to be fat sometimes. But I think I was a little overweight, so I agreed with her. So my wife decided she was going to put me on a diet. And she puts me on this diet, catfish, like this catfish diet. She figures she's going to find this catfish diet, and she figures you like catfish. She says, it's going to be easy. It's something you like. You're going to have no problems with this, you know. So I said, okay, fine. So the first day I come home, so I'm going to start your diet today. I said, okay. So she comes out with, you know, she's going to have catfish pan-fried in water. I said, well, okay. Plain, nothing on it. You could salt it a little bit. I said, okay, fine. So I had some plain catfish. Next day I had some, I said, you know, she made this breading up somehow with something that I was allowed to eat. So I had some type of breaded catfish. She said, well, it's getting a little bit better, like breaded catfish. Next day I had boiled catfish and milk. Not so good. Wasn't too happy about that. She used skim milk at that. Wasn't even the good stuff. You know, I can't even eat my Oreo cookies without regular milk. I need regular milk. So, needless to say, after about, you know, 4 weeks of eating catfish, I had about had it. And so now I had to find a way to let my wife know very delicately that I appreciated all that she was doing, but it was becoming rather annoying at this point. And I wanted to eat something else other than catfish. So she... instead of just kind of sitting down and telling her over dinner while I'm watching her eat her steak, I decided I would get my Dobro out and practice and follow her around the house. Because I figured that would be annoying enough. Well, that didn't work. She has a high tolerance for me. So then instead I started making up songs about eating catfish. So this is one of them. And this is all inspired by her completely. Thank you. supper time. Okay. Excuse me?
What happened after that?
What happened after that? I ate more catfish for about another week, and then I said I'm done. I think I came home with a whole half-pound bag of Oreo cookies, set them on a table with a glass of milk, and I just, as she walked in the room, I just started eating them. I think that's kind of what happened. She just looked at me and went, okay, whatever. So I think, after that, it was go to the gym, run around the block, you know, that kind of stuff. All that crazy stuff. So, all right, while I'm retuning, I'm going to tell you guys a story here. So, as you can see, this is a great big shiny metal guitar. And usually, when people ask me to play this thing, I say, oh, would you come to our club and play? Or, you know, we have a really nice outdoor venue or what have you. And I say, sure, you know, it's okay. Let me go there. I'd love to play there. And say, you know, the gig's 4 hours or so, or 3 hours, and we'll feed you, and that's nice. So I wind up at these really nice places. One time I was out at the airport. I'm out at the airport, and I'm playing, I'm doing my thing. And they put me up on this really, they have this brand new patio because of the smoking ban, right? So they have this big outdoor patio way, way, way up on the top of the building that overlooks the airport. Very long, very flat. So, you know, it's kind of a nice day, but by the time I get there, a little bit of rain starts to happen. And I said, well, you know, this isn't too bad. I could wait it out. Well, in order to play in some of these, you know, wider spaces where it's not as acoustically, you know, comparative to this space where it projects a lot more outside, it's much more difficult. So I usually bring an amplifier and I plug into a wall. So now I have a big, big, big shiny metal guitar in the middle of a rainstorm plugged into an electrical outlet. So this is kind of normal for me. This is, so that's the first time that happened. So, you know, and they say, well, could you start playing now? And I said, do you think it's wise? They go, oh, you'll be fine. We have a little overhang for you. And I'm going, maybe I should wait till the lightning subsides off the airport. You know, it's starting to come down a little bit. Well, they said, maybe we'll wait 10 minutes. Do you think you could get started after 10 minutes? And I said, I guess so. And then the other time was I played in, I think it was Rocky River. They had a nice gazebo. They put me outside. And same thing, you know, it's this beautiful day. And, you know, I'm facing the audience this way. And behind me, I see this girl in the front row. And she's looking at me and she's going. I'm going. And I'm playing. I'm doing my thing right in the middle of playing. She's like, what? And out of nowhere is this dark cloud that looks like it's something that came out of Ghostbusters. Coming in, and all of a sudden I start hearing thunder, and it's just torrential downpour, thunder and lightning. So I have the worst luck playing this thing outside. Which of course is my my great segue into the next tune. So this is my anti-rain song today. It's called Light Rain. So we always pray for light rain whenever I'm. And today's one of those days. After this, I have to go play outside someplace. It's a tune called Light Rain. Thank you. knows who Janis Joplin is, right? We all know who Janis is. Janis is cool, but Janis was alive in 1920, and they wrote this tune then. I'm going to do some Janis Joplin for you. Probably do the way it was originally meant to be done, although she had her own way. But if she was alive then, she probably would have done it this way. Time we have. Let's see if we have another one or two in us. We got time maybe for one more, I think. Yes? Okay. All right, we've got time for one more. Okay, it's an old tune called Rolling and Tumbling. so I have to do the disclaimer before this. Please strap in your seatbelts and do not try this at home. Okay?
Thank you again for coming. For those of you who weren't here at the beginning.